I am leading you. And the speaker is God. In Deuteronomy 29:29, Moses is telling the people, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed, that he has revealed to us in the Bible, belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." And of course, in Moses' time, that was all that had been given. But he says there are some things that God knows that we don't, and we can't. But what he has revealed to us really is enough. If we pay attention to what he has told us, we're sufficient. We are in good shape. So let us not then begrudge that we don't know the secret things. So God is leading you systematically. Do you see? That's the concept here. I am leading you. God is leading you systematically through your life. So I would encourage you to hold his hand like a child in trusting dependence and let him guide you today. You say, I don't know where the world is going. I don't know what's happening. I don't know where I might walk and get coronavirus. No, you don't. So what if your future looks uncertain and feels precarious? Well, that's how it should be. Secret things belong to the Lord, and future things are secret things. The unexplored world, the unexplored universe. Albert Barnes says, the sense seems to be this: the future, when and how these good and evil things will take effect, lies with the Lord our God to determine. It pertains not to man's sphere and duty. God's revealed will is that which we must carry out. It is sufficient for us what he has told us, what he has revealed to us. We wouldn't have known that except he had revealed it. This is the idea of God's revelation. It's revealing to us things that we did not know, could not know, and would never be able to fit together and find out. So he has revealed it to us. When you look at your uncertain future and you say, I'm just going to determine how that's going to work, when you try to figure out your uncertain future, you grasp at things that belong to God. See? This, like all forms of worry, is an act of rebellion. Let me see that. Trying to snatch it out of God's hands. This rebellion doubts his promise to care for you. Do you really doubt that? Do you really doubt him? I've got to look this over myself. I've got to figure this out myself. Let me urge you to claim God's promise and count on it. Here's a promise. Psalm 32:8. God is speaking. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. A beautiful picture here. I defer to my great preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as he says, here the Lord is the speaker, and gives the psalmist an answer to his prayer. The psalmist is David. Our Savior is our instructor. The Lord himself deigns to teach his children to walk in the way of integrity. How? Well, his holy word, and he said the monitions, meaning the admonitions of the Holy Spirit, are the directors of the believer's daily conversation, the daily lifestyle. He goes on, we are not pardoned, saved, that we might henceforth live after our own lusts, our own desires, to fulfill our own wants in this life, but that we may be educated in holiness and trained for perfection. A heavenly training is one of the covenant blessings which adoption seals to us. All thy children, this is why he mentions adoption here, all thy children shall be taught by the Lord, is a promise given in Isaiah, speaking of the millennial promise to Israel, the covenant blessings to Israel. And it calls them children because they are adopted as saved people, or that's why they're in the millennial reign. He makes this important distinction. Practical teaching is the very best of instruction. And they are thrice happy who, although they never sat at the feet of Gamaliel, like the Apostle Paul, and are ignorant of Aristotle and all of his philosophies, and the ethics of the schools, have nevertheless learned to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. The ones in the book of the Revelation are gathered together, ready to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. He says here, I will guide thee with mine eye. As parents, we learned to try to do that with our children. So we weren't always just yelling. I had a snap of my fingers. Just snap it loud enough, and that by itself, they would turn to look at me. And in the look, I would direct them or something, you know, and it was a rather quiet thing. As servants take their cue from the master's eye, and a nod or a wink is all that they require, so should we obey the slightest hints of our master, not needing thunderbolts to startle our incorrigible sluggishness, but being controlled by whispers and love touches. Isn't that nice? I've always thought that God will stop at no problem in our life to get us to understand what he's talking about. But if we were just more simple to love him as we ought and listen carefully to his word and to his direction day by day, the life would be far more easy. Forget the thunderbolts shaking us to our foundations. We would just be led correctly. The Lord is the great overseer, think manager here, whose eye in providence, in providing for us, overlooks everything. It is well for us to be the sheep of his pasture. Sheep don't figure things out. They just said, hey, he's moving. Let's go. We'll follow him. See? Following the guidance of his wisdom. He's the one that's wise. So, I conclude with this. That concludes Spurgeon. Whenever you find yourself worrying about the future, repent and return to Christ. You've taken this to yourself, haven't you? You said, I'll be the God to discern these things. Don't do that. He will show you the next step forward, and the one after that, and the one after that. Relax and enjoy the journey in his presence, trusting him to open up the way before the way before you as you go. There are times when things seem so complicated that I just decided I'm not going to try to figure this out. I'm just going to take a step, and it looks like I'm walking toward the wall, but somehow that wall isn't there when I get there. My wife and I went out to Jeb and Heidi's wedding, and I was scheduled to speak at a church the next day, President Dennis's father-in-law has a church out in that area, so I was scheduled to speak. Well, that evening, I couldn't get my car to move. The transmission wasn't working. And so I thought, well, we'll just have to leave it, I guess. And so I tried to call him. Well, the church had, the church number was all that I had. And they had a answering machine. So there was just no way to contact him to say, I'm your speaker and I'm not going to be there. Or if you want to come send somebody and pick me up, we can be there. And nothing was working out. And I thought, this is going to be such a bad testimony to just not show up. The wedding was all done. Everything was finished with that. So I said, I don't think God wants this to be like this. And I went out and tried the car one more time, and it was working. So the next morning, we got where we were going. I remember Jerry Thompson saying to my wife, asking me, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm just going to try to make it home. So he said to Cheryl, you want to ride with us? And she said, I'm going to stay with the man of God. God was doing something interesting there. I think she just wanted to be a part of that. Made it all the way home. Now, it cost us $1,600 to get the transmission fixed afterwards. It was still broken. It was just working all of a sudden. But trust him, rest in his presence, enjoy that journey, and say that I'm going to trust him to open up the way before me as I go. If he has led me to that path, then it's kind of his job to open it up. Comments?